Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
That giggle.
Oh, Olive is in like mischievous mode.
Really?
Yeah, because Monkey's not home. So she's sitting in with me and she's just like sniffing and trying to get everything in this room.
That's actually so funny you say that, because Victor's been the same lately. Like, he's been really crazy. Like, anything he can get his hands on, he will. And he's got a little toy box, like a wooden, like a kid's toy box full of toys, right?
Yeah.
And every night he goes up to it and he scratches at it so I can take out his toys. So I do take out his toys, but he can't see in the toy box. So he keeps thinking there's like endless toys in there. I'm like, there's nothing in there.
Olive's been like, she has a toy basket and she usually just tips it out and finds the toy she wants to play with. But and I pack it up. So I put all the toys back in the basket. And when she sees me packing it up, and it's all clean, she walks over to it and she starts like whimpering, like she's annoyed that I've packed all her toys up.
They are so funny. How funny are they?
Oh, she's so funny.
And do you know what's funny? Because what I was going to say is, you know, yesterday I put Victor in this toy box and I almost closed the lid to show him there's nothing in there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to tell him there's nothing else in there.
God. But like, she's going to be. Can you hear her in the background?
I just heard like a little shuffle, but yeah. It's not bad.
She's just like running around like crazy. Oh.
And that's a bit like, I feel like if you're not giving her attention, she'll make, like, do you know what I mean? Try to get your attention by doing something naughty.
Yeah, she will. All right.
Should we get started?
We should.
Okie dokie. Take it away. Take it away. Do you have your snorkels on, Lockie?
I do.
Okay.
Got them on nice and tight for this one.
You're going to need them. This week's case, Brandon Lawson. Okay, so the following is a snippet from local San Angelo News from 2018. Every few months, Coke County's sixth person sheriff's office receives a call from someone seeking information about Brandon Lawson. Every few months, they tell someone the case is dead. We don't have any leads, Chief Deputy Brandon Neal explains. We have nothing, nothing. Oh my gosh, sorry, just quickly, I'm just going to. Isn't it funny that the chief deputy's name is Brandon and we're doing Brandon Lawson. Okay.
Yeah.
on a Thursday, August 8th, 2013, Lawson, then 26, briefly returned to his San Angelo home after not coming home the previous night. Ledessa, Lawson's girlfriend of 10 years, mother of their three children and stepmother to Lawson's eldest daughter, was infuriated by his absence. But especially because of his recent drug relapse, the two fought and he left. Lawson never returned. His last known location was along US Highway 277, north of San Angelo, and right before the West Texas town of Brant. Population not quite 1,000. A desolate two-lane highway, Deputy Neal said a person could probably lie down in the middle of the road and not worry about being run over.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Oh, this case has stuck in my mind, like, so much. It's one that I feel like I just don't forget.
I know. This is, like, my got you case. Like, I sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, was he saying this? Like, you know, yeah. I cannot get it out of my mind.
Yeah. And I think this is would probably be in my top five cases if I had the power to solve. It's probably in my top five list.
Yes, me too, actually.
Mm, yep.
So we'll dive into the case. So that's Brandon good. Lawson from San Angelo, Texas, was 26 at the time of his disappearance on August 9th, 2013. He left his house just before midnight after getting into an argument with his partner, Ledessa. It's reported they were arguing about Brandon's drug use. Ledessa explains she does not like Brandon high around the children. It is also reported Brandon did not come home the night before. So Ledessa and Brandon had three children and they had been together for 10 years. Brandon also had a child from a previous relationship. And by all reports, Brandon was caring and an attentive father.
Do you know one thing I have been wondering, and it probably has nothing to do with this, but so Ledessa and Brennan were together for 10 years since they were 16. But
yeah.
Where did this other relationship come from?
So I actually, because I've listened to quite a few interviews with Ledessa. She's amazing. I think she is incredible. And she does explain that I think that she had met his child when, so he was a year older. So Brandon was a year older than Ledessa, and he must have had the baby with his previous girlfriend. And I'm guessing he would have been like 14 or 15.
Yeah, so that's
she,
what I'm thinking.
Yeah. So she met, I think she had met the, it was a little girl when she was a few months old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Isn't that, I thought that as well, that's so interesting and so much responsibility for a 26-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is. It's a lot.
Okay. So Brandon had planned to make his way to his parents' house in Crowley. So that was a 3-hour away drive. Mm. I know that his father didn't want him to make the trip because it was so late in like the evening. So reports are that he had called his father around 10:30, but he didn't leave the house till I think it was about 11:50.
Yeah. So him and Ledessa had an argument because he was high or he had done it the night before or something. And he cracked it and wanted to stay somewhere else for the night or something.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that he was definitely, his brother does state that he was high the night before. And just a side note, he was starting a new job.
Mm.
So he had to do a drug test for his new job, and he had passed that. So again, all reports say that he wasn't a full addict, but he would do it a few times a year. And this was meth.
Yeah. No.
Yes.
Yeah, meth, yeah.
Meth, yeah. Yep. Yeah. I should know that because I've Googled all meth about meth so this week.
If anyone saw my, like, Google history, they'd be like, what the heck?
Okay, so his truck ran out of gas just after 12:30 a.m. So it was about 45 minutes into his drive. Now, his brother, Kyle, he actually lived close by to Ledessa and Brandon, and they were quite close. They had quite a close relationship. So he called his brother, Kyle, for help.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that because it was such a big stretch of road, I think that he was only 5 minutes away from the gas station. So I'm guessing he just thought he could make it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just going to coast on through.
Sort of wing it, yeah. So later on in this call, later down the track, Kyle admits that in this call, Brandon was paranoid and had told him Mexicans in the neighborhood were chasing him and that Ledessa had hired them.
Yeah, that sounds like very paranoid, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And Kyle actually asked him if he was tripping on drugs or if they were causing him to hallucinate, but Brandon denies this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Kyle didn't actually have money to buy Brandon gas that night. He was waiting for his paycheck to clear.
Yep.
So what he did was he loaded his girlfriend and his 4-year-old child into the car.
Mm-hmm.
He called Ledessa and asked her to leave out like an empty gas can and headed over to his house to pick up the gas can. I'm guessing his plan was to then go pick up Brandon, drive Brandon to like a petrol station, get the gas and then, you know, drive him back to his car. I think that's Kyle's plan.
Like Brandon pays for the gas.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he didn't have any money. Ledessa, obviously they'd had a fight and it was midnight. There's also reports that their child, the youngest, was quite sick, like in the days leading up to this.
Yeah.
So it was midnight. She said, I'm going to have a shower and hop into bed. So I'll leave the gas can out for you. But Brandon took their only charger.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a charger in her, she had a charger in her car, like, you know, those old school chargers where you can charge the your phone. So she went and popped her phone in the car and then has a shower and goes to bed. So that's sort of the end of, like, do you know what I mean, the night for Ledessa.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the brothers were in and out of contact between 12:30 and 1:15 a.m. And in some of the calls, there's all different reports, but in one of them, Kyle reports that Brandon had said that he was running through a field and he was bleeding. So Kyle assumes that he had just fallen over it was just a minor fall or he'd run into some cactus.
Mm-hmm.
But Brandon never informed him of being attacked or anything that anyone else was present that night.
Mm-hmm.
So when Kyle reached the location, Brandon's vehicle was completely deserted. And Brandon was nowhere in sight. The doors were unlocked and the windows were down. And the car was also on a slight angle. So I think for like if anyone else was driving along this road, it could have been quite dangerous if they didn't see the car because it's sort of poking out, I'm guessing, like of the slip lane.
Yeah.
So.
But I guess that makes sense. Like if, like you said, if he had run out of gas and he was trying to just make it to the next one and it just slowly conked out and he's just tried to pull it off the road as best he can.
Exactly. So he's sort of just, I'm just guessing he's like, dunk, 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 and then it's, you know what I mean? And it's done. So due to this, there actually are two 911 calls reported. Now, one of them was a truck that had reported his car being parked dangerously, and another one was, like, just a passerby. But with both these two 911 calls, we don't know anything about who made the calls or anything, if they saw anything, nothing. It's just we just know that there were two 911 calls reporting his car being parked dangerously.
Yeah, the police have never released those calls at all. No one knows any information from them.
The only – about the truck driver, I did hear, though, that he did drive to the next sort of – he must have been going to get gas as well. So when he had driven to get the gas, he must have mentioned it to, like, the sales guy, and he said, you should call that in. So he didn't call it in at the scene, he called it when he got to like the next little town.
Yeah, okay.
So, but that's the only thing we know, and we don't know anything about the other one. So,
okay.
So we also know that Kyle's girlfriend Audrey messaged Brandon to warn him because when Kyle got to Brandon's truck, there was police there, or there was a policeman.
Yep.
Okay, so this policeman, he had gone obviously because of the 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing I just want to say, like a little side note, I thought it was really interesting. So as I said, when they got to the truck, they actually called, or Kyle called Brandon to let him know that he was at the truck. This, I'm guessing this is after his partner Audrey had messaged Brandon to give him like the heads up. And Kyle has said that Brandon's not the type to keep his phone on silent.
Yeah, okay.
But so wouldn't you think if he was nearby, you'd hear, do you know what I mean? You'd hear the phone ringing.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Okay, so when Kyle finally reached Brandon on the phone, Brandon had said to him, one time run. So according to Kyle, this means law enforcement run. So that I'm guessing it's like slang between the brothers. And he also said in this call that he could see him. And I'm right here. Which, again, going back to that point, if he could see him, that's pretty interesting, especially because Kyle couldn't hear his phone ringing. So I don't know if he actually could see the law enforcement, which is what most people claim, or if he knows the law enforcement are there because of Audrey.
So Brandon said to Kyle, one time run.
Yeah, like Lauren, like it's the cops run. And also when Kyle refused to run from the cops, like Kyle's like, I've got nothing to hide. Like, why the heck am I going to run? Brandon said, where's your pride, motherfucker, and hung up on him.
Really?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So I'm guessing I don't actually know. I think that he was just – I don't know if it's because he's hallucinating or if it's because – like now we're going to get into the next point, which is that Kyle actually was reluctant to give the police officer any information because Brandon had a warrant out for his arrest.
Yeah.
But he did mention to the officer that his brother had run out of gas and assumed he was heading to the gas station as their calls kept dropping out due to bad reception.
Yeah.
So the police officer mentions to Kyle, Brandon's not up this way, as in pointing to the direction that he'd come from, because he had seen nobody walking along the side of the road. So I don't know if that, where's your pride, motherfucker? Like if it's just because, do you know, like the way they were talking to each other, or because he's telling him to run, like run, it's cops, like I'm telling you to run and you're not doing it. So I don't know. What do you think?
That's like very aggressive to say to someone that you've called for help.
Yeah.
I find.
And do you know, like, and that's the thing, like obviously we're going to get into the 911 call, but sometimes it makes me think, like, is it because he didn't, like was something going on and he didn't want Kyle to be in trouble? Or didn't want Kyle involved. Do you know what I mean? Like, this has crossed my mind. I think everything about this case, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, unless they're just one of those families maybe that never trusted the police, or, you know, well, it was just always a mentality that they'd had.
I think they were obviously both drug users, and Brandon had been to jail before.
Yeah, and I think Kyle had also been to jail after this incident. So
Exactly.
Maybe
right.
They've just had a few run-ins here and there.
So, but as I said, Kyle had said, like, I've got nothing to hide, so why the heck would I run? So both Kyle and the police had come from opposite directions and neither one of them had seen Brandon that night. Mm-hmm. They were also both unaware that Brandon made a distressed panic call to 911.
Yeah.
Just before they arrived. So we are going to get into this 911 call because I think this is the biggest part of this case.
Yeah.
But we'll just keep going with sort of like the events of that night.
Yeah.
So once police left, Kyle parked up the road because he just assumed Brandon was hiding from the police because of this warrant. So he parks up the road and he waits 30 to 40 minutes, calls out Brandon's name, and he's trying to get in contact with Brandon. His son, who was, as I said, only 4 at the time, was quite hungry and he was really restless. So he obviously felt bad for both his son and his girlfriend. So he decided that he'd leave the empty gas can in Brandon's car and take his wife and his son home. And then he had planned to drop them off at home and then pick up a friend of theirs, of Brandon and Kyle, like Kyle and Brandon's friend, to head back out to see if they could find Brandon or just to make sure that he'd gotten the gas okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so it isn't until early morning hours that Alyssa gets up and sees a whole bunch of missed calls from Brandon and Brandon's family. So she can't get a hold of Brandon that when she had woken up. So she ends up reaching Kyle, who tells her that he can't find Brandon. So this is like 5 a.m. onwards, sort of like the morning after.
Yeah.
So Kyle obviously has returned to the scene with a friend. Yep. So Brandon's car was towed about 8 a.m. that morning of the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, Ledessa goes down to help search for Brandon. She actually takes all the kids down there but finds it quite hard, obviously, searching for Brandon with all these kids. They're all obviously 45 minutes away from home, so she finds it hard going like back and forth. So she ends up renting a place down there so she can continue searching for Brandon. But, do you know what I mean, she's got somewhere close by to stay. I know.
Okay.
And even like I just my heart goes out to her. Like, she's just incredible.
I think in an interview she said something like the two eldest daughters often to this day she finds them on YouTube listening to the 911 call trying to figure out what their dad's saying.
Yeah.
You know, they're still trying to figure it out. Like, that's just, which makes you think he like, it's something's gone on. He wouldn't just leave, would he? Like,
yeah, like, I definitely don't think he's done this purposely, which is, we're going to get into it, but it's what the police assume straight away.
Yeah.
So, and as you heard at the start, we did do a little snippet from the San Angelo's news, and we could not find a clip from an actual news station, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was just not covered at all.
No.
No.
So it's later discovered when his family received Brandon's phone records. So I'm thinking this is around the Monday from memory, that on the night of Brandon's disappearance at about 12:50 a.m. he did call 911.
Okay, so this is 20 minutes after he's run out of gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about, I think from memory, Kyle got to the van, got to his truck around 1:10, 1:15.
Okay.
So but in saying this 911 call, so that was at 12:50 a.m. Kyle did speak to Brandon after this 911 call.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like the where's your pride and run from the cops.
Yeah. So that aggressive call was after the 911. Yep.
Exactly. So the call's really hard to understand, but I definitely think Brandon sounds scared and distressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So there are heaps of unclear statements. Some of the things that we can sort of understand is that he told the dispatcher that he ran out of gas and that he was in the middle of a field and that he needed help and to please hurry.
Yeah.
So interesting fact is it took 4 months for Ledessa to get the actual call and to get this call and to hear it. And some people think that's because the police altered the call.
Yeah.
So I think it's time we play the call. And
we will.
9:02:13:0:50:38
911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. The state, we're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. my truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. I gotta take it to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
I'm not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
Yeah, no, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
Okay, so that is the famous 911 call. I think we should just play it again.
9/2013, 0:50 and 38 seconds.
911 emergency.
Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. It's safe. We're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here. I gotta take it to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that by me.
I'm not talking to him. I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello? Hello? Hello?
It's not the same every time I listen to it. It changes.
I hear something different every time.
Yeah, same with me. So I'm going to run through what I can hear and then Lockie, I'd love to hear what you can hear. So I think it's pretty clear that he's saying, yes, I'm in the middle of a field.
Yep, I agree with that.
Now, a sniper just pushed some guys over. What are you hearing?
I can hear sniper, but I think it kind of sounds like state trooper or state, like he's squished the words together.
Yes, and I would definitely suggest listening to the True Crime Garage episode on Brandon Lawson because they do an amazing job of breaking this 911 call down. But that in that episode, they actually – so the captain does heaps of things with, like, audio stuff and that, and he shows us how state trooper can actually be turned into staper.
Yeah.
But in it, he says usually you'd hear like a pop when they've broken the word up into two, but there's no pop there. But he said that doesn't mean that it can't be done. It just means whoever did it was like really good at
editing.
Editing. Exactly right.
But I also think like it sounds like he, you know, he's waited and waited for the phone to pick, like someone to pick up the phone, and he's just blurted out everything in his head. He's like, okay, I've got to say this, I've got to say that, I've got to make sure I say that. And I think there, like, is a possibility that it wasn't edited, that he was literally just trying to get so much information out that the two words were becoming one word. And
yeah, because I definitely, you know, it's funny because when I wrote this down, I heard like a sniper, but I have heard like a, like I've heard the state troop as in the staper.
Yeah.
And sniper, like usually the two words, but those words change depending on when I'm listening to it. But I can see how it could be state trooper as well. So I think that's why it's such an interesting case that he's saying state trooper on a 911 call.
Yeah, and I hear pulled some guys over, not pushed.
Yeah, see, that's so funny because I hear, as I said, both different times. This particular time that I wrote it down, I listened to it like 2-3 times and I heard pushed.
Yeah, okay.
And also just... the only other thing I think about the state trooper thing is if you're in trouble, would you call the police if it's involving a state trooper?
I don't know. I feel like if it was me, I probably still would.
Oh, interesting.
Because it depends what's happening, but.
Because wouldn't you be scared that these guys are going to, like the cops are going to come and like cover for the state trooper?
Yeah. But then it also doesn't make sense that he has called 911. But he's also, and he's asked for the cops, but he's also said to Kyle,
you know, run.
Yeah. Like that to me is odd. Why bring the cops out and then tell your brother to run from them? That's weird to me.
See, that the only thing that I can think of is that he's trying to protect Kyle.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I mean, let's keep going, but there are bits in this that have happened. You know what I mean? Like, his 911 call isn't completely like there's an alien in front of me. Like, there are parts of it that make sense that we know has happened, you know?
Yeah.
So he says we're out. Well, I think he says we're out here going towards Adeline on both sides.
Yeah.
So that Adeline, I'm quite sure it's actually a place in Texas, and that's the direction he's heading, and that's what I hear. So I feel like that is what he's saying there.
Yeah, I don't hear the where out here. I just hear out here going towards Adeline on both sides.
See, interesting. I hear the where out here going towards Adeline. But yeah.
But I also don't understand what that means. We're out here going towards Adeline on both sides. Like, what does that mean on both sides? Because a highway's not going to go towards the same place on both sides. You know what I mean?
I think they're on – when I close my eyes and picture this, I feel like they're on both sides of the road going towards Adeline. You know what I mean? Like, even though, like, there's only one, for instance, lane going – one's going, do you know what I mean, one way and one's going the other. In my head when he says that, I feel like they're on either side of the lanes going towards Adeline.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing I can make sense of.
Yeah.
I also feel so it says here, well, that's what I'm thinking is my truck ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm. I definitely can hear that.
And then I hear there's one car here that got taken or chased to the woods. I've listened to it, as I said, a few times, and I kept getting muddled with that one line. So there's one car here that got taken to the woods. What are you hearing? Mm.
Can you play it again?
9/2013, 0:50 and 38 seconds. 911 emergency. Yes, I'm in the middle of the field. Escape. We're just pushing guys over. Right here going towards Javelin on both sides. My truck ran out of gas. There's one car here that got taken to the woods. Please hurry.
Okay, now run that Browning.
The one I talked to him, I actually ran into him.
Ah, you ran into him. Okay.
That's the first guy.
Do you need an ambulance?
No, I need the cops.
Okay. Is anybody hurt? Hello?
Okay.
Okay. So I hear my truck ran out of gas. There's one car here that got chased into the woods.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking before. Like, is this something to do with cars? Like, it's just, but then wouldn't they would have seen the tracks when they started, I guess, doing the searches for him?
Yeah, you'd think so, but they maybe were just looking on the side that he had stopped on. Maybe this all happened on the other side, but his truck had just stopped on one side.
Yeah, so let's keep going with this call and then maybe we can come to like what you're thinking is happening. So we both think there's one car here that got taken to the woods or chased to the woods.
Yep.
Please hurry.
Yep.
Okay, now she's saying, okay, now run that by me. But he sort of butts in.
Yeah.
And he's like, so some people think he's saying I'm not talking to them or we're not talking to them. Mm. I'm hearing I'm not talking to them.
Yeah, I don't hear much of the we or where. Like in the earlier statement, out here going towards Adeline on both sides, you hear we're out here, but I don't hear that. So I'm not talking to them is what I hear.
Yeah. I see. It might be his accent as well.
Yeah. It's very, very Texan accent.
It is. Yeah. So now I've got for the next line, I ran into them. It could be, and this is really funny because it's not even like close to the same word. Truck ran into them. Like I ran into them, truck ran into them. I hear it both. I hear both words. Mm. Like I and truck.
I think I hear I.
I ran into them.
Yeah.
And then the dispatcher says, you ran into them. Okay. And then you do hear like
something in the background.
Something. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
And this is where this is where it messes with my brain. Like, this is why I can't stop listening to it, because I can hear something in there.
Mm.
And then it's like, we got the first guy, but you can hear something going on in the background. So it's like, we got the first guy. Like, is it a gun? Is it shots? People do say that it's gunshots.
Yeah. I mean, I hear him say, shot the first guy, like that. Shot the first guy. Like, she, like he's trying to tell him.
The first guy. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm not talking to him. I ran into him. But, like, they've shot the first guy.
But then why wouldn't he want? Well, we're just about to go to the next one, but why wouldn't he want the ambulance if they shot the first guy?
That's one thing I've wondered this whole time, because.
But there's other people that think they say just the first guy. Yes, the first guy. But I feel like I'm hearing, as I said, I can hear all of them, but when I listen to it without knowing what other people are thinking, because what I did was I listened to it, you know, like I wrote down everything and then I went back to see what other people were thinking, and I can hear that, but with this particular line I hear, we got the first guy, and there's something sort of like in the background, like a noise.
Yeah, I don't know, I just from his whole like tone, I hear him reporting on something he's seen. I don't see him reporting on something that's happening to him.
I feel like he's out of breath as well, though. Like, I feel like he's running. Like, he seems like, he's trying to get stuff out.
Maybe he's just seen something crazy and he's just trying to get away, but he also needs to tell someone what's happening, and he's just reporting on what he's seen.
Yeah.
That's what I think, anyway.
So then the dispatcher says, do you need an ambulance? And I definitely hear, no, I need the cops.
Yeah.
I hear the because some people like it does not say yet, but I can hear it. Like, I need the cop. No,
I can hear
a
noise. I can hear a noise like a
grunt.
Yeah. Might not be a word, but he goes, like, he's definitely thinking.
Yeah.
No, I need the cops.
And then that's pretty much the last we hear of Brandon. We hear the dispatcher say, okay, is anybody hurt? Mm. And then hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
There are also reports with this, which I can hear, as I said, like another voice or like at sometimes a lot of it doesn't make sense. But if he was talking to both the dispatcher and someone else, it might make a bit more sense, you know, like if he is with someone else.
Like he's trying to listen to the person that he's with, but then he's also trying to pay attention to the dispatcher.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the 911 call. And as I said, they didn't get that for 4 months. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that is crazy. But I also don't think that it has been edited at all. I think it just took 4 months because they didn't give a shit about it.
I feel like if the police went hard at helping find him, I would be thinking like, no, there's definitely nothing's happened. But because there's weird ass stuff going on with that department, like that sheriff's department in that town, that's what makes me not completely rule out that the tape's been edited.
Yeah.
Mm. So in the days, weeks and the months, the family's search for Brandon, like it's pretty much his family that are pushing for the police to search for him, and the police just brush it off. They think that he's like a felon drug addict on the run, or that he's like run away with like another woman, because obviously he's 26 and he's got all these kids, like that. I think they just think that he's trying to escape from his life.
Yeah, but if he was like a drug felon, why would they not arrest him? Like he had this warrant for like 8 years or something, didn't he?
Exactly, and he did not know anything about this report up until I think he'd gone to renew his car, rego, or something along those lines, and they had told him only a few weeks before that, you know, this warrant's out for your arrest. And Ledessa, his partner, does say that they were saving up to get a lawyer because she just wanted, like, him to get, like, sort of deal with this and get it, do you know what I mean? Out of their hair. Yeah, exactly. So they were aware, but he was paying child support for his first child. So it's not like the police didn't know where he lived. If it was that serious, they could have easily gone, do you know what I mean, to track him down.
Exactly.
So another strange fact about that police department is that the sheriff's wife owns the local newspaper there.
Yep.
And she's the one that was putting out these articles. Like nobody else in the area really had much information on the case except for this one newspaper that happens to be run by the sheriff's wife. And like they're the ones claiming like, oh, he's just run off with another woman and just random articles. So that's why I am a little bit sus on them.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think that's not okay. Yeah. And, yeah, the articles that they were writing about him were just a little bit
pathetic. I know. I feel like they weren't, they weren't very nice, were they? And the family have done everything. Like, they even, the police at one stage even thought that Kyle was involved and that he helped his brother disappear.
Yeah, and then I've also heard that there's a theory that Ledessa was involved because she, didn't get out of bed and wouldn't get up and go and find him. But, like, if your partner had just done drugs and you'd ask them not to do drugs in front of your children and come home on drugs, you would be pissed. I would be pissed.
Exactly.
I would want to have nothing to do with them for the night. I'd say go and stay at your parents' house.
I would not even leave out that gas can. Like, you know what I mean? She did the right thing. She left out the gas can for, like, his brother to pick it up.
Yeah.
So and not only that, the second she found out she was missing, she took, I don't know if she had the stepdaughter as well, but she took all three kids, and one of them was, like, really young and sick, and went down to search for him. And she paid, you know that she actually is the one that paid for, like, a helicopter search out of her own money?
Yeah.
It was like a, I don't know, helicopter thing. And that was in the days, obviously, right after. And it wasn't until at least a week after till the police actually got involved.
Yeah.
So the area has obviously been searched, and it's been searched many times, both on foot and from, like, a bird's eye view, thermal imaging cameras. But these didn't even come into the picture, I think, till, like, ages after. So I feel like by then it was too late. You know what I mean?
What would they have found, really?
Exactly. And they had the cadaver dogs out there. They do think that the cadaver dogs did hit on certain locations, but there's, like, wild hogs in the area. So they think that sometimes that can confuse the cadaver dogs, like these wild hogs.
Yeah.
Also, that area was filled with rattlesnakes, which, just gives me the creeps. I can't even. And it was really swampy sort of area, and really dense as well. Yeah. It was right next to the Colorado River, but this river, it was going through a drought at the time, so it was, like, knee deep at its highest. So when people say, like, oh, he fell in the river, I don't personally think that's an option.
No.
Because I think that they would have seen it, or, you know what, it's been that long, like a shoe, something, his phone, like something would have, do you know what I mean, shown up. Yeah. Like, cause, so he had his phone, his keys, and his wallet have never been discovered, and no clothing either.
Yeah.
And the sheriff's department do say there was no, they couldn't find any sign of a struggle when they did do their search.
Yeah.
So he's literally just disappeared on that road, on that highway. So there are quite a few theories. One theory is that he was murdered.
Yeah.
Because in that 911 call, he claims not to be alone. Well, I can hear Webb. You can hear I. But still, he's reporting on something, and he needs the police. Like, he doesn't need the police for himself. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd think that means that he's with someone, and, like, the pushed his, pushed some guys over both sides. Like, it implies that there was more than one person there. Obviously he's asking the police for help. He tells Kyle that he's bleeding. Also, in that true crime garage episode, which we spoke about before, about that's the state trooper, how they could edit that word. So that, I guess, the murdered sort of theory sort of latches onto that. Maybe he saw, like, a state trooper doing something illegal, or, you know, involved in something illegal, and then he was killed off for it.
Yeah.
Also, people think that maybe it was, like, a drug deal gone wrong.
Yeah.
There is, like, two little more sort of, like, recent sort of discoveries. One, I know that in Ledessa in an interview said that there was information on a laptop that was bought secondhand, and in that information it had said something about killing Brandon, but nothing had come from it. But I thought that was really crazy.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
Yeah. And also last year, I think it was actually quite late last year, a skull was found in the area, but not close enough to the area that he went missing for him to be able to walk there.
Yeah.
And I did think a weird note is that this skull was found in an oil field, and he was an oil field worker.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a bit interesting. But so that's one of the theories. The other theory, which we touched on, was that he ran away.
Yep.
So people say that because of the warrant out for his arrest, he ran away, obviously, or because obviously he was 26 with kids paying child support, like he just wanted to escape his other life. But I think there's heaps of evidence to prove that's not the case.
Yeah, I don't think that that's...
Especially the warrant thing. Like, I get that he had that out, but as we said earlier, they could have arrested him whenever they wanted to, and they were dealing with that, do you know what I mean, sort of situation that had come up with the warrant. And also, he had been to state prison before, and Kyle, his brother, doesn't seem to think that he'd be scared of going to prison. Prison. Why don't I? You know, I always say prism. Like, what's a prism?
It's a shape.
It's prism. I'm more like prism. Anyway, yeah, so, and also that he'd be more upset to leave his children. Like, he was a loving father, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think that it does show that he was very, he did care for his children. Like, Ledessa still to this day calls his first daughter her stepdaughter. Like, she still calls her her daughter.
Yeah.
Like, how sweet is that? Yeah. And she still has a relationship with both, yeah, his daughter and also his family. Like, they're all quite close.
Yeah.
Also, last theory, which I think that, this information did come out later. So Kyle and Ledessa didn't make it public that he was on meth till years later. And people have like criticized Ledessa for not, you know, being honest on the night. But I think she does explain it quite well. She said, listen, I had young kids. I wanted to tell them and explain to them first before they see all this stuff on the internet. And I think that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also with Kyle as well. Like, he did tell them, I think he told the police, I'm not sure about the meth if he told them about, but he did explain about the warrant and stuff late to the police because obviously he didn't want to get his brother in trouble. But when he realized that it was a situation, he did tell him, or tell the police, sorry. So I think there's a little bit of criticism about him not coming clean, which makes him look a little bit guilty. But again, I don't think there's much to it. Kyle, again, so he on Crawl Space, which is another podcast with Tim and Lance, he admitted that he was using, as in Brandon was using meth and was high at the time of his disappearance, and that he had contacted Kyle the night before, and due to him passing his drug tests for his new job, he wanted to sort of like get high.
Celebrate
as a sort of like a once-off. Well, not a once-off because he did do it, but it wasn't like an every week sort of thing. Which I think Kyle, I think he'd been clean for at least 6 months. So Kyle had tried to talk him out of it, but Brandon was pretty adamant that he wanted to do meth. So,
don't find it that odd. Like, just because he's done drugs doesn't mean that whatever's happened to him was warranted. Like,
I completely agree.
You can be high on drugs and horrible things can happen to you beyond your control, I think.
Yeah, so I guess with the drugs, like, slash overdoses, like, he was hallucinating or he's, like, tripping, you know what I mean? And then he's fallen or, like, fallen into something, like, a ditch. I don't even know if it's a ditch or, like, but he's gotten somewhere where he can't, a situation that he can't get himself out of.
Yeah.
But I just find it really, like, even though there is heaps of bushland and I think that area is really, like, common for hunters and things like that, I can't get it out of my head that there's no trace.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. So if he did overdose or if he did accidentally just trip over, they would have found him.
Exactly. Or like even like an animal, like, because I know that one of the theories is that, like, you know, wild boars eat like people. I know, but they don't eat shoes or phones, do they? Like, you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, exactly. And I honestly found this really interesting. So Ledessa says that when they had gone up in the helicopter to look over these, like, this land for Brandon, they had told her to look out. Apparently there's these birds that, like, oh, this is so gross, but, like, eat bodies. Not bodies, but, like, that would, like, be, like, savage birds that,
yeah,
like,
they're, would what are pick they called?
At. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they got a name. It's on the tip of my tongue. What are they called? Oh, my God, it's going to annoy me now. I'm just going to Google it. Keep going, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. So that she had been told to look out for these birds, like a flock of them, because that would show that there's something, like, do you know what I mean? Like, dead. It sounds so bad, but dead. Do you know what I mean? Like, because these birds would be eating it. So she was looking for a flock when she was in the helicopter. How interesting is that?
Vultures.
Vultures.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I was.
I didn't even know that. I thought vultures was like an animal. I didn't know it was a bird.
Yeah, it's like a, yeah, disgusting bird.
Gross.
Yeah, I don't agree that it was, yeah.
And I guess something just to, on that theory, is that there were no drugs ever found in his car that night. So even if he was high, like, I don't know how this stuff works. Like, does it, like, wear off? Or would he have had to have done it again? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it probably, I mean, if he'd done it the night before, he still could have been
high.
On a high. Yeah. Yeah. And, or he could have been coming down, which is just the same. Like, you know, you can get paranoid and. So, yeah, don't know.
What do you think happened to him, Lockie?
Well, I've got a theory, and I'm just going to go out. I guess it's a bit of a scenario, but I'll just paint a bit of a picture. So he mentioned on the phone to Kyle that Mexicans are chasing him out of town.
Yes.
Which did sound like a little bit of paranoia, and I do think that he was high and that had heightened a lot of things. So I think that he maybe, yes, was being a little bit dramatic due to being on meth, but what was happening to him was 100% real. I don't think the Mexicans were chasing him out of town. I think there was a Mexican gang or a gang of some kind driving behind him, possibly, or driving near him, and it was kind of riling him up and, like, he was getting a bit nervous about it. I think his truck did run out of gas, 100%, and I think that when he ran out of gas and he's called his brother like to help him, he's thought, you know what, there's a gas station just up the road, I might just make my way there. So he's taken his phone and his wallet and his keys, and as he's started to make his way to the petrol station, this gang has pulled up on the other side of the highway and has killed someone. I think he witnessed a murder, and a police officer was maybe not involved but was there. And I also think maybe that the police in that area were a bit corrupt at that time.
Yeah.
And possibly would help the gang out, like, you know, like they were kind of on each other's
on
side.
On the money, like they gave him like a side.
Yeah, exactly. Piece. So I reckon there was a gang of some kind that killed somebody else. There was a policeman there that was kind of just covering it up. And then I think that they maybe have spotted Brandon and thought, okay, well, we've got to get rid of him now. And then they've killed him. And they've gotten rid of his phone and his keys and his wallet. And that's that.
See, I am really impressed with your theory, Lockie. Because I honestly thought you were going to say that he overdosed and was in some bushes. Like, that's what I thought. That's where I thought what you were going to be thinking. But
I do think he was high. And I think that him being high made him extra paranoid and extra frightened.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the reason why he died.
Yeah, see, I'm similar page. Like, as I said, my theories change all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the reason why he said that stuff to Kyle was because I think there was something happening and he didn't want Kyle to be involved. That's why he's like, run, motherfucker. Like, he's trying to, like, tell him, get the heck out of here. And so he did call the police, and I think that he was in danger. And I do think there is a third party involved, because I think nothing else explains, like, there's no trace of him whatsoever.
Yeah.
I do think the police could be involved. To what extent, I have no idea. But I do think that it was foul play, and I think that he was trying to protect his brother with those phone calls.
Yeah.
Telling him to run.
It sounded like the phone calls escalated a little bit. Like, he ran out of gas and he called and he said, hey, can you come and help me? I've run out of gas.
Yeah.
And then something's happened and he's called 911 because it's the quickest way to get help.
Yeah.
And then all this shit has just exploded and there's people being shot and he's afraid for his own life.
Yeah.
And then Kyle rocks up and.
And he's got his kid and his girlfriend there.
So he's like, just get out of here. But I also think that the policeman that was at his truck as Kyle pulled up was possibly the police officer that saw whatever had happened with this gang or was in on it or whatever. Because. Mm-hmm. I just find it odd that the 911 call was placed. I mean, we don't know what time the truck driver in that had called the police, but Brandon didn't give the dispatcher his location, so no one knew where he was. And I think for a police officer to rock up within 10, 15 minutes without knowing his exact location was a bit weird.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And even that, I feel like the police, like, as in, not that they're lazy, that's actually really mean, but like that, that wouldn't be like the number one thing on their list to go and see this deserted car.
Yeah, they wouldn't think, okay, we've got to go right now. We've got to be there as quick as we can. So I think the speed at which that officer got to Brandon's car was sus, and it makes me think he was either already there or he witnessed the gang and he knew the gang and he was aware of the gang and he'd paid off the gang or they'd paid him off or something, and he didn't want to get caught out, so he got the gang to kill Brandon.
Yes, I like that theory. Mm. I also think, like, still, like, backpacking off your theory, I think it's also interesting that he's like, no, he didn't come from that way. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, don't look down that way where I came from. Like, because who the heck's down there? You know what I mean?
He wasn't looking for a person. Go down there? Yeah.
Exactly. So I did think that was, that definitely is interesting. But, yeah, I hope one day they can find him, because I know that all they want is – to, like, they obviously know that he's no longer with us.
Yeah.
And I think they just want to bring him home, really.
Yeah.
For his family, for his young family.
Yeah. And there is a website, missingbrandonlawson.com, which I think there's updates on there and you can send information in and, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And definitely go onto YouTube and listen to all the types. Like, there's ones with voiceovers. There's so many, like, you can get lost in it. And also I would highly recommend listening to the True Crime Garage Brandon Lawson episodes as well. And also Crawl Space, there are amazing interviews with one of Brandon's close friends, Ledessa, his partner, and Kyle, his brother, so that Tim and Lance interview them, and I think his father's on there as well, but it's just so sad to listen to them, like, talk about him, you know what I mean? And they're still doing everything they can to find him. So. Yeah,
very sad.
But, yeah, that's our case for the week.
Yeah, it was good talking about this one with you. I was excited all week.
It was, and hopefully, I mean, one day we'll have updates.
And next week we are heading back to Australia for our episode next week.
We are.
Yeah, which I'm also excited about. So that will be great.
I am excited. I feel like it's a little bit different when you're doing it, like, ones from, like, our backyard, you know?
Yep. It's going to be very interesting. That's a wrap for today, Karina.
That is a wrap.
Yes. Let's get the frap out of here.
Let's do it, Lucky.
Bye.
Bye.
If you'd like to support our show, follow us on Spotify and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you have any cases you'd love us to cover, send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @caffeinecrimeandcanines.